Welcome back, everyone, to episode number 20 of Hot Takes Only. Wow, 20 episodes, Alex. I don't think either of us really thought we'd be getting this much support from the website, 20 podcast episodes into it, when it was just an idea back in January, did we?
No, it's pretty electric.
So an up and down week for the podcast last week, 2-2 we went. The Ravens over, absolute lock from the start. Ravens
covered it in like the middle of the second quarter by themselves.
It was absurd. And the Rams, close cover of -2.5. Really tough loss though. The Army-Duke over.
Army-Michigan. Tough one, dude. I mean, I couldn't watch. I was falling on my phone. Army fumbled on the last play. All we needed was a field goal in overtime, and they fumbled. Oh, tough. You hate to see it.
And then the Stanford money line looked pretty decent for most of the first half. Yeah, and then Stanford absolutely self-imploded in the second half.
I went to bed, and Stanford was up, 21-7, I think, something like that. And I was like, all right, I think we're probably going to be okay. And I woke up, and they got blown out by 24.
Yeah, I think they were down 3 at halftime, and then – basically got nothing going.
It was the first quarter where they were up 7-3, and then I think it was 20-3 or 20-10, and then USC scored 38 unanswered points or whatever it was. I don't know. I thought that was a lock. I also didn't know that KJ Costello didn't play. I didn't know he wasn't playing at the time of the recording of the podcast.
Yes.
Probably wouldn't have been as exuberant. That freshman quarterback that I shredded on this podcast was a stud.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you make good bets that just don't pay out.
Yeah.
So tough one. But we are back week two of NFL action, week three of NCAA football. Mm-hmm. I'm going to flip it over to you for your first pick this week.
Yeah, I'll start with a relevant one since we're recording this on Wednesday. I love under in the game tomorrow. 49.5, I believe it opened at 50. On a Thursday, that's just a ton of points. Divisional game. I just think that that's just too many points for me. Thursday night games traditionally favor the under. I mean, we saw that last week in a 10-3 barn burner.
That was some kind of game.
It was a brutal football game.
That was worse than the Super Bowl was.
Yeah, it was. And that's saying something.
That is saying something.
But yeah, I love the under this week. I've been betting so many unders this year. I used to be, if I liked the under, I used to just not bet because, it's un-American to bet the under.
It's un-American to bet the under.
But there's just, these first week lines have been so crazy with the numbers. I didn't touch the total on the Saints Texans game, but the Broncos Raiders at under 45.5 after the Raiders scored on the first drive.
Wow.
And that was pretty much a lock the whole way. And the Broncos, I know you had them as one of your team total overs, look like a pretty bad football team, but we'll get to that.
They definitely did not look like a great football team. Oakland looked way better than I thought they would, especially after all the drama they went through this offseason.
Yeah.
So, again, interesting to see how those two teams react to what happened this week. I do like the under. I think that Tampa Bay looked really, really terrible, and specifically Jameis Winston did not look like an NFL quarterback in week one, just did not play well at all. On the flip side, the Panthers, they did put up some points against a solid Rams defense, but Cam Newton got punched around a little bit with that strong front seven that they have with the Rams. So short week coming off, a week that you get beat up a little bit. I think the under is definitely a strong play.
For sure. I've already locked that one in, because I think the line's just going to get a little bit lower. But, 49.5 at the time of recording.
I'm going to go with my first pick, near and dear to your heart, the Buffalo Bills against the New York Giants. Line is currently -2 for the Giants, I think, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I'm locking in the money line on the Bills.
Yeah.
I really, really like the Bills. There was a one-point game they played last week, snuck one out against the Jets in week one. Wasn't really reflective of the flow of the game.
It's Bills minus two, by the way.
So that's changed, actually. So that I believe that opened at Giants minus two, which is insane.
I think it actually opened at Bills minus 2.5.
Well, then I must have misread it. Anyways, then I'll give the points. So Bills minus
Bills,
two. Then.
Bills by a million. Yeah, minus it opened at Bills minus 2.5, and now it's at Bills minus two. It's actually swung the other way.
Yeah, so I'll give the points then. Bills minus two. As I said, played a 1-point game against the Jets last week. Was definitely not reflective of the way the game flowed. I thought the Bills deserved to win by a much higher score line. They outgained the Jets 370 yards to 223. But what was the killer for the Bills was the minus three turnover margin in the game. Josh Allen actually played pretty well, I thought. And you know me, I'm not a huge Josh Allen guy, but I thought he played pretty well apart from the picks. And then obviously the pick six that he had. What excited me about the Bills was the rushing game. They actually averaged over 5 yards a rush.
Because my boy Devin Singletary.
Guy's awesome, man. Guy's
a stud,
awesome.
Dude. He's like a shady Frank Gore hybrid, except he's amazing. 10 years younger than
me. Frank Gore, when's that guy going to retire, man?
Never. I don't know, man.
And the Bills' defense was also able to get after Sam Darnold. I think they had 4 sacks on him. Going back last year, if I look at the turnover margin, the Giants don't win the turnover battle very often. If you go back last year and including week one of this year, only 2 of their last 7 games have won the turnover margin. So I don't see that being an issue for the Bills this week. And the Giants just gave up 500 yards to the Dallas Cowboys, including 400 passing yards, Dak Prescott. Needless to say, you know, not a good team. And again, this was also a Dallas Cowboys team that their starting running back was sitting on a beach in Cabo a fortnight ago, right? Mm-hmm. They came out and just absolutely ran their offense all over them. So I love the Bills, I guess not money line, but minus two in this situation, regardless of that number. As long as it doesn't go above a field goal for me, I'm taking the Bills on the road here.
Yeah, no, I like that too. I'm a Bills fan. I think the defense is really, really solid. I think like you're never going to hold Saquon, but I think if they can hold the rest of that offense in check, like I don't think Evan Ingram's gonna go off like he did in week one against the Bills defense, and the Giants defense made Dak Prescott look like an all-pro quarterback. If I was Dak Prescott, I'd be signing that extension they've been rumored about this week, because he will not have a better game this year until he plays the Giants again. Like he's okay, but he's not that good. Interestingly, the number for the total in that game has actually risen from 42.5 to almost 44 on some books, which makes zero sense to me.
So I was actually looking at that number. I decided not to give it as a tip. I was leaning over.
Yeah.
But, you know.
See, I'm leaning 40, under.
44 points, a lot of points for, you know, a Giants team that we're not sure if they're actually going to be able to score. But it could be a situation where the Bills get out to an early lead and just sort of coast throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you said, Saquon doesn't get contained. The Giants are sort of able to match the Bills scoring, because there's no doubt in my mind the Bills are going to score in this game.
Yeah.
And it's all about whether or not the Giants can do enough on their part in order to reach that total or not. So I decided to stay away from the over-under. I was leaning over, but then I saw it go up, and I'm not quite sure if I like it at that number.
See, I like under at the number that it's at, 43.5. Both teams are like primarily rushing teams, which means the game is just going to be shorter. I think the Bills have a really good defense as well that can hold the Giants like easily to well under 20 points if they have a good game. And the Bills, honestly, like if the Bills are going to make the playoffs this year, they're going to win a whole lot of games by like grinding teams out. I mean, I'm high on Josh Allen. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He's starting to take steps in the right direction, but he's far away from being a guy who's going to throw like 35 to 40 passes in a game. So I like under there. I mean, it wasn't necessarily something I'd written down as like something that I like this week. 70% of public bets are also on the under, which is interesting, which means if the number's going the other way, the sharps like the over.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I'll touch the total, but if I had to, I'd probably take the under.
Definitely worth doing your own research on that one, because it is a very intriguing line.
I would say so. So I got Chicago -2.5 as my next pick on the road against Denver. I think Denver is awful. I think Joe Flacco is as advertised in that he's not good. And that defense just got shredded by Derek Carr. I think Chicago is going to come out with a lot to prove after kind of laying an egg in week one, especially offense.
Not kind of.
Yeah.
They did.
Especially that offense, 3 points is and they got those 3 points off of a turnover, right, where they already had good field position. They didn't have to work the ball down the field. Mitch Trubisky's been getting a lot of hate, and they've had 10 days off. So I think, you know, the increased rest combined with a chip on the shoulder combined with Denver being an awful football team, I guess Chicago -2.5.
Yeah, the Denver defense did not hold up as well as I thought they would against the Raiders. It just was sort of a lackluster performance, and they didn't really get after Derek Carr, which I was kind of surprised about. I don't think I'm going to touch this game just because I have no idea what Mitch Trubisky is doing. Like, it's just kind of insane how inconsistent this guy is.
Oh, yeah, against the Eagles in the playoffs, he looked like an all-pro quarterback, and then he looked like he'd never played quarterback against the Packers.
So, I'm going to stay away, but I the lean is definitely the Bears minus less than a field goal.
Yeah, that's if it was a field goal, I mean, I might take it just because you get push insurance, but 3.5, I probably would leave it. But -2.5 for me, like, I'm really low on the Broncos this year. So, that's where I locked that one in already as well for a couple units. So,
I like it. I like it. So, my next pick, I'm going to the College Gridiron. Pretty solid matchup, non-conference Oklahoma versus the UCLA Bruins.
It's not a solid matchup.
It's solid in terms of the program reputations, let's just say.
Okay.
But I do agree with that. The line is -23 for the Sooners, and I'm hammering that line.
Oh, I thought it was going to be higher. I thought it was like 28.
The UCLA Bruins are not a good football team. Chip Kelly has not been able to save them. They've only put up 14 points in both of their first two games. TDR, who I think DTR. Yeah. You're a pretty big fan of him, aren't you?
I was a fan of his like when he was in high school, but he's also the only guy to ever lose to Tate Martell in a position battle. So maybe I should have known that he wasn't actually a good quarterback. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting because the reason I liked him was, so give a background, when he was at Bishop Gorman High School, he was the backup to Tate Martell. But while he was a backup, he played receiver. And then he went to the Elite 11 camp before he'd ever started a high school game at quarterback and, like, made the Elite 11 and then had a really good senior season. So, to me, I thought that was a good case of, like, a kid at the quarterback position not, like, panic transferring and, like, waiting for his turn. And ultimately thought he ended up in a perfect spot with Chip Kelly just based on his skill set. I have so far been extremely wrong. That he does not look like a good quarterback. Chip Kelly does not look like a good football coach. He's running the same stuff that he ran at Oregon 10 years ago that now everybody else runs, and it's not unique anymore. And it's just, I don't know if he's even going to make it after this year.
Or even within the year, maybe. But so what I was going to say, DTR has failed to pass for 200 yards in either game so far this season. Not a recipe for success in the Chip Kelly offense that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions again. Not great. And Oklahoma, my goodness, does that offense look fantastic with Jalen Hurts leading the way. 49 points against Houston, followed up by 70 points against, I think it was South Dakota. Some FCS team. The biggest thing for me will be, you know, does DTR sort of come out of the funk that he's in this week against a not great Oklahoma team, but in any
Oklahoma defense,
Oklahoma defense.
Okay.
The Sooners are going to make this a track meet. I just don't see how UCLA can keep up with it because the UCLA defense is not overly strong either. I don't see them being able to contain Jalen and all of the offensive weapons that Oklahoma has. So I think that this game you know, could cover well within the first half. It's just whether or not we can maintain the cover with the sketchy Oklahoma defense. But I do think so. I could see a game that finishes 50-17, something like that. So
yeah,
I am laying the points. The Sooners minus 27 or 23, locking that in.
Yeah, I like that. DTR has only thrown for over 200 yards twice in his whole career.
Yeah.
Which is
not good for a Chip Kelly offense.
Yeah,
that's not going to fly.
Not going to fly. Yeah, I kind of like that too. I think UCLA is so bad, man. And there's not really a lot of signs that they're going to get better.
So this is sort of off topic. Chip Kelly, who's at UCLA right now. Do you think they will fire someone like him midseason?
No chance.
No.
No. Because he was a big get for them.
Yeah.
And it's not even his players right now, in fairness.
That's fair.
He's going to get at least one more year, I think, unless they go something like two and nine this year. Or 2-10, excuse me. That'll be the only way Chip gets out of there. But like, UCLA is not necessarily a powerhouse. They were in the 80s, like when Troy Aikman was there and whatnot. But they haven't been a contender in a long time. Like, even when, like, Anthony Barr was there, they were always just, like a dark horse, like, Pac-12 South team that might upset USC. I mean, they beat USC last year. I mean, Chip Kelly beating USC last year probably got him another couple of years just on its own, right? Like, that's just how college football works. But you gotta let – You got to let the recruiting class get to like sophomore, junior years, in my opinion, at a place like UCLA, not at a place like Florida State, where Willie Taggart is. If Louisiana Monroe makes that field goal or makes that extra point and then somehow wins that game, there's no way Willie Taggart would have kept his job.
It's sort of become, I think it is comical.
It is 100% comical. Yeah,
and just absurd. Like, how do you find ways to continue to let games that your roster should be able to dominate, like, be so close and just such a pardon my French, an absolute shit show.
Yeah,
right. Like it's a mess out there.
When you remember, like, when you're a kid and you play like Grand Theft Auto, and you'd always try to get like 5 stars so that all the cops were there, and then you try to like lose the cops, but you never could.
No, nope.
Willie Taggart could lose those cops. That guy
could lose
anything.
I think that's becoming like the slogan of our podcast.
Willie Taggart could lose anything. He could lose anything.
But other than football is family.
Yeah, football is always family. I like the line.
Florida State. I just looked this up now.
They play Clemson this week.
Virginia this week. Oh, okay. What do you think the line is on that game?
Where is the game?
In Virginia.
Virginia minus 10?
Minus 7.5.
Okay. So Virginia's a good football team.
Virginia is a good football team. That's just one that I saw right now.
Yeah. Florida State's trash. Florida State might go 0-4 in the conference this year. I'm looking at the conference like up and down, and I think like one of the only teams that they could probably beat is like – I was going to say Louisville, but Louisville played pretty well against Notre Dame. So, I mean, I would probably take, Louisville.
Wild.
Yeah, anyways, we're getting a little off topic here. I'll stay in the ACC for my pick, though. I'm going to go North Carolina plus 2.5 this week against Wake Forest. North Carolina has started off the season way better than anybody would have ever anticipated in the Mack Brown era, part two. And I just think they're going to keep rolling. I don't have any reason – or it's actually plus 3.5. That's what it opened at. I don't know what it's at right now. But plus three, like a field goal difference to get the points. Sam Howell looks like the real deal, true freshman quarterback from North Carolina, 5-star guy, Elite 11 guy. Everybody knows how I feel about those guys. And he was a Florida State commit, believe it or not, until National Signing Day, and Mack Brown got him to flip to North Carolina. And
good thing.
This is crazy, and this doesn't sound like a real statistic. But in the two games that he has played, in both of those games, they've trailed in the fourth quarter at some point. They've won both of those games. But more important than that, this stat makes no sense, but it's real. And when trailing in the fourth quarter, Sam Howell has a 100% completion percentage and every pass he has thrown has either gone for a first down or a touchdown.
Wow.
Electric.
That is pretty wild.
Ice. That's Chuck Liddell ice in the veins.
Oh, I like that reference.
So yeah. I'm taking North Carolina. I mean, Wake Forest beat up on a bad Rice team last week. I have no idea why anybody would read into that too much. 62% of public bets are on North Carolina. I don't know where the money is, but my guess is the money's on North Carolina because that line's already moved.
I'm just reading right here. Super strange, not related to the betting at all. They're not counting this as a conference game, which seems kind of strange. They're not going to count it as a conference game because the two rivals otherwise play once every 6 years due to conference divisional alignment.
That makes no sense. That can't be real.
It's a rivalry game. Yeah, I'm reading it right here. Super strange, but
very strange.
Yeah, like the reason, like
that game's on Friday as well. So if you are thinking about that game, make sure you don't wait till Saturday because it will be over.
Definitely. Do you have any other picks? Those were my two picks.
No, those are my three. That's what I got. Let's play a game like called "How many games will Florida State lose this year?"
Yikes!
Like they're not going to beat Virginia. Louisville at home, they're probably favored, but it's a toss-up game in my opinion. North Carolina State, same deal at home. They're going to be 24-point dogs against Clemson.
24? That's it? You don't think it's
24,
more?
24.
On the road at Clemson? Really? You don't think it's going to be more?
Dude, 24 points is so many points.
It's so many points, but Trevor Lawrence can put that up in a quarter against Florida State.
It was 17.5 against Texas A&M, and they didn't cover it.
I think that's going to open at least four touchdowns.
You think it's going to be 28 in a rivalry game? I know Florida State's trash, but like 28 in a rivalry game?
I really do.
That's crazy. I that would be funny because I think that like that alone, like I don't care if they cover or not, like that alone is just hilarious.
Yeah.
Wake Forest on the road, probably an L. Syracuse at home. Syracuse took a huge L this weekend against Maryland, who looks like a very good football team.
Yeah.
Miami at home, that's an L. Boston College on the road could be an L. Alabama State, normally I would say win, but I don't know based on
Louisiana
the first two
Monroe.
Weeks. Yeah. And then Florida away, again, probably 24-point dogs.
Even with Felipe Franks.
Florida State is going to win. They've won one game this year so far, shouldn't have. They're going to win four games this year,
yeah.
I think.
That's tough. That's a tough look. Interesting betting note, flipping back to the NFL. We have the once in a year line that we see in the NFL. Patriots playing the Dolphins this week, opened at -17, is now -19. The Patriots on the road at the Dolphins, -19, 19 point favorites. I did see a stat, the Patriots have been favored by 19 or more points five times in the Belichick-Brady era and have not covered any of those times.
So they'll cover this weekend.
I think the Dolphins are the exception for sure. Not willing to take it as a pick.
No, me neither. I'm not touching that game in the 10-foot pole, but I'm pretty sure that New England is going to
score a lot of points.
Yeah, they're
going to
wreak havoc in Miami.
Yeah.
So
start all of your Patriots for fantasy purposes.
Fantasy, except Antonio Brown.
Except Antonio Brown.
I don't think he's going to be playing football.
Yeah, although he practiced today.
I think he's going to get put on the commissioner's
list. I think he has to.
I'm not going to touch that subject further than that. But yeah, not a good human being.
No.
Regardless of what the verdict is.
Yeah, just a messy situation for sure.
I would agree. Yeah. All right.
Anyways, that was episode number 20, man. I still can't believe we've done 20 episodes.
I think the new format's good. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people that are listening. I think like making it in a more digestible, shorter thing, and it doesn't sound like there's not a lot of betting podcasts out there. And I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's kind of what we envisioned from the get-go.
Definitely.
It was like gambling focused, and we just so happened to start in the worst period of time to gamble.
Yes, this is very true. But we are now 3 weeks into the new format, this being the fourth. We're up.
We're up.
So
we are up.
That's what matters. So
we are up. We don't unit shame here, but if you put some good money on the units that we had.
Yeah. Maybe we should add like a tip feature on the you can send tips to us off your winnings on the website.
We take full responsibility. not full responsibility, full credit. We take
credit.
Zero responsibility.
Yeah.
But full credit.
Full credit.
Yeah. Full credit. I did misspeak. All right.
Anyways, everyone, enjoy another great weekend of football. I know I'm going to be sitting on my couch watching all the games. Should be great.
Should be electric.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, guys.
Football is family.